Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. You are listening on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, we'll play our conversation with the quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. We're also going to be joined by Josh Vernier. Two local legends will join the show in the 5 o'clock hour. We got you covered with the Chiefs. We also got you covered with the Kansas City Royals as they begin their divisional round series against the New York Yankees. I just want to play this for you guys before we kick things off. Earlier, we had Sean Marash on the show. He does afternoons in New York at WFAN. It's the biggest sports talk station in the country. Listen to what he said Yankees fans feel about your Kansas City Royals.
I think the moment the Astros got eliminated, and even to a lesser extent the Orioles, who are a bit of a Yankee rival here and they've gone back and forth, I think that it is viewed right now in this town as a major mega disappointment. If the Yankees forget, you know, getting to the ALCS or not in the World Series, and that starts with beating the Royals, I think a lot of people look at this in this town as a pseudo buy for the Yankees to an ALCS. I'm not telling you that's right. I understand how anybody in Kansas City will basically look at that as New York arrogance, and it is, but that is the belief around this town for sure.
Rob, where do the Yankees get off with this sense of arrogance? The Yankees haven't made the World Series since 2009. The Yankees missed the playoffs last year. Rob, they finished fourth in the American League East. They were 19 games back in the AL East. Now you make the postseason and now you get to talk to the Kansas City Royals any old kind of way. It's a pseudo bye. There was a 45-day stretch over the course of the summer where the only team in baseball that had a worse record than the Yankees was the Chicago White Sox. The Yankees are a good team. Don't get me wrong. They won 94 games this year. They've got superstar talent. Gerrit Cole's an amazing pitcher. Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, Giancarlo Stanton. They got a lot of superstars on that team. A pseudo buy is how this was described by Sean Marash, who has the pulse of the New York sports fan. I want to read to you guys a stat very quickly. This is Michael Wacha against the key players for the New York Yankees. Michael Wacha is going to start for the Royals tomorrow. Aaron Judge is 1-for-18 and has struck out 11 times against Michael Wacha. Gleyber Torres is 1-for-16 against Michael Wacha. Giancarlo Stanton is hitting .235. Has one home run. Judge never hit a home run. Gleyber Torres never hit a home run. Giancarlo Stanton hit one home run. Alex Verdugo hitting below .300. You can look at this series as being a pseudo buy. The Royals got a chance to go into Yankee Stadium and steal game one because of their starting pitching. This is disrespectful. The Yankees are walking around like they're the Kansas City Chiefs. The Yankees are walking around like they're Alabama, like they're Georgia, like they've done something of late. You haven't. I can't believe I heard that when Sean Marash was on the show today. The arrogance, the overconfidence. This series is going to be a battle because the Royals can pitch, the Royals can play defense, and the Royals have a capable bullpen. This is not a series that Yankees fans should expect that they are just going to cakewalk through. I don't think you can view any postseason opponent, especially when you just won a series on the road to get to this point. The shame, the unmitigated gall. To walk around with your chest out if you're the New York Yankees and look down on the Kansas City Royals. You were not that much better than them over the course of the season. How dare you walk around and think that way about the Kansas City Royals? We obviously will see these two teams address this on the field, and we'll see who the better team is over the course of the next week and a half or so. Before we play our conversation with Patrick Mahomes, I want to play for you what John Sherman had to say. I want to tell John Sherman that you did it. And I am not sure if the Royals would be in this position if you had not have fired Dayton Moore. Now, Dayton Moore did a lot of amazing things in this city, not just on the field, but off the field. The Urban Youth Academy is the vision of Dayton Moore. He was a great philanthropic voice in this city, a very important person. It takes a lot of stones to come in here as the quote-unquote new guy and tell that person, you no longer work here. Hand me your key card. But somebody had to do it. The Royals were not headed in the right direction. And you guys, the people that buy the tickets and support the organizations, a majority of people had started to lose hope in Dayton Moore's vision for the team. And I would say that he, meaning John Sherman, has had two very important press conferences as the owner of the team. The first one was at spring training, his first year as the owner after COVID, and he basically told us, we want a downtown stadium. He didn't say that directly, but when he says, I think we can do more with our stadium and I've always had a vision for downtown baseball, he told you he wants a downtown stadium. And then it was this press conference. It is him standing next to Dayton Moore and firing Dayton Moore in front of everybody. They didn't let Dayton Moore finish out the year. At least you could have let Dayton Moore finish out the season. You could have fired him at the end. You could have had it be a big ceremony and thank you for everything. Transitioned him into a front office role. No, he wanted to let you know that what was happening with the Royals was unacceptable. And he was right.
Dayton always tends to talk in terms of what a championship team looks like. And that's a great conversation, but I'd like to know what a wild card team looks like first. Because if anybody knows, Kansas City Royals fans know, if you can get a wild card slot and you can get in the dance, anything can happen.
Is that not what's happened with the Royals? I mean, that 23-second cut is exactly what you have seen take place with the Kansas City Royals. They took the step. My frustration with the Royals over the course of the last 4 years is it was always en route, and they kept moving the goalposts. Hey, man, 2020, that's going to be the year. Oh, well, now it's COVID. We're not going to be able to compete until 2021. Oh, well, you know, we're going to move it. And fans were buying it for the longest time. Oh, I mean, you know, after you lose the World Series, I mean, you got to expect that we're going to go through this. The Royals in one offseason went from a 56-win team to a team that just won a playoff series. It does not take nearly as long to turn things around as these teams have tried to sell to us our entire lives. Your favorite college football team has been trying to tell you that it takes 4 years to turn things around. No, it doesn't. I just saw what Kansas did with one head coach. I saw them turn things around from being the absolute worst Power 5 school. It doesn't take 4 years. In a year and a half, I saw the Royals go from being the worst team in Major League Baseball to being a team that wins 85 games and just won a postseason series. It don't take that long. So I give John Sherman a lot of credit for doing something that not a lot of people would have done. He came in here as the owner, not wanting to upset anybody, not wanting to turn over the apple cart, and came in here and basically planted his flag and said, what is happening with the Royals is unacceptable, and I'm going to do something about it. And he did. We never saw Dayton Moore sign a player like Bobby Witt Jr. long term. John Sherman did that. This offseason, they went out, they spent the money, they went out to go get the necessary starting pitchers that they needed to make this run. They got Seth Lugo. They got Michael Wacha. Michael Wacha is starting game one of a postseason series. They traded for Cole Reagans. A lot of the buttons that the Royals have pressed over the course of the last 18 months have worked. And that is in direct contrast to the buttons that were pressed for the 40 months prior that were the wrong ones at almost every single turn. It was hitting rock bottom with the Royals. And their owner did something about it. So John Sherman deserves a lot of credit. His staff deserves a lot of credit. This was a team that if I had asked you 2 months ago, what's their biggest weakness? You would have said the bullpen. Now you look at it heading into a series against the New York Yankees. You look at that as being one of the strengths of the team. They retooled this thing in season, not at the end of the year. In the midst of everything that was going on, hey, let's go get Sam Long. Let's go get Zerpa. Let's go make all of these moves, and let's try to have a bullpen that gives us a chance. And that's what the Royals have, a chance. They're not the favorites in this series. They shouldn't be the favorites in this series. The Yankees, over the course of 162, they were a better baseball team than the Royals. But we all know it's the playoffs. That's not really how this works. The Angels were better than the Royals on paper in 2014. The Royals won that series and swept the Angels. The Orioles, you remember, it was the chess master against the dunce. The Orioles were better than the Royals in 2014. The Royals won that series. We've been in this situation before with these teams that have the advantage on paper, but the beautiful thing about sports is at some point we get rid of the hypotheticals and we get to see it play itself out. And over the course of a week, we will find out who the better team is between the Royals and the Yankees. We're going to bounce back and forth all hour between the Royals and the Chiefs. We're going to be joined by Josh Vernier here coming up in a bit, but we got a chance to catch up with Patrick Mahomes earlier in the week. We didn't get an opportunity to play it because of the 2 day games that the Royals had. But you know what? There is no time like the present. So I have made a goal for myself. Patrick's birthday was a couple of weeks ago, and his wife got him something as a gift. And I asked him, and he said, well, he hadn't received it yet. I still don't know what that gift is. Every week I'm going to ask him. We are going to find out what Brittany got Patrick for his birthday. That's how our conversation today started.
I will let you know when I ask Brittany if I'm allowed to let you know next week, hopefully.
Okay, all right. You know what? I'm going to stay on this. This is my mission to find this out. I don't know if it's a bone to pick with you or not, but Travis is supposed to be your boy. And the first thing I see when I get on the internet today is Travis is wearing your school's mascot head. You're not supposed to do your boy like that.
Yeah, no, it was just a nice, friendly type of bet on our old alma maters, and we agreed on the mascot heads, and luckily my team won, and we were able to see Travis with that beautiful red mustache on his podcast.
So hold on, when were you supposed to wear the mascot head? You're telling me that you were going to do today's press conference, the Cincinnati Bearcat head today?
Yeah, that was the plan. I was going to do the press conference with the Bearcat head on, so that would have been awesome. I think it would have been funny, but luckily I didn't have to do that.
Right now we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. A lot of things to get into today. We are still waiting to hear the results of Rashee Rice. Just take us through that play in which he got injured.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I rolled out and thought I had Travis, overthrew Travis and threw the interception, and then I guess after the game, just trying to make a play, and Rashee made a great play, stripping the ball away. But I went into his legs, and all we can do now is just hope and see how the testing goes, and hopefully it's not as bad as it looked on the field. But like I said, if I don't throw the interception, we're not in this situation, so I have to be better on my part.
You guys have had a lot of challenges to overcome over the course of this incredible run. This feels like it's one of the biggest. I mean, just dating back to when you guys first get to St. Joe, you have a different left tackle. Your first and second running back are injured right now. Your number one and number two wide receiver. The injury bug has really bit you guys these last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. I mean, that's part of football. I mean, we've been really lucky these last few years. I've been quarterback to stay pretty much healthy in a sense. But it happens in football. I mean, obviously, we're hoping that for the best on all those guys, and we're able to get them back quickly. But until then, we have to continue to play and continue to work to get better. And I have to play better in order for us to keep winning.
How does this change things for you? You know, you guys have a different room, but it's a familiar room, if that makes sense. You know, you've played with Justin Watson for a while. McColl's been around. You played with Juju before, Sky Moore. So there's a lot of familiar names. How do these injuries sort of change you guys' offense?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just going to be more of a group effort. I mean, it's hard to replace for these next few weeks, at least, what Rasheed does. I mean, the way he's able to catch the ball and do everything from every aspect of the football field is special, and that's why he's such a great football player. And so we're going to have a lot of guys step in his role and try to do their best to make up that production. I mean, that's what it's like in the NFL. You have to continue to step up and make plays. And like I said, I think if I play better just in general, it's going to help everybody out.
Right now we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Last question about that, and I do want to get your thoughts on Kareem Hunt. Football is such a next man up mentality. How do you think this team is going to respond to that and rally around that these next couple of weeks while you try to get some key pieces back?
Yeah, I think guys are ready. I mean, I think the thing that we've realized over this run is that guys will step up whenever their number's called, and that's what great football teams have to have. And we have a lot of guys like that. A lot of guys, like you said, have been around that have played a lot of great football and won Super Bowls. And so they're ready for the challenge. It's not always going to be pretty. It's not always going to be perfect. But we're excited for the opportunity to go out there and get to play against another great football team on Monday night.
I'm interested to get your thoughts on how Kareem Hunt played for a guy that wasn't in the NFL 2 weeks ago. I thought he looked really good. I thought he looked really fresh. I thought he looks like a guy that can really help this team over the next few weeks or so.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, a guy that was excited to get back out there, played extremely hard, ran the ball extremely hard, caught the football well, and just was ready for his moment. I mean, that's what it takes in this league, is being ready when your number gets called, and he did that. I mean, he ran the ball really well. He did a great job with everything that we wanted him to do, and I think as we continue to go, he'll continue to get more and more comfortable within the offense.
I've been wanting to ask you this question, waiting to ask you this. You just completed your 100th regular season start. What is the biggest difference that you've noticed in yourself as a player from that first start against the Broncos to the start that you just had last week?
I think it's just being able to handle adversity, being able to be calm in the moment. I mean, I think I've always been able to do that to a sense, but when you get all that experience, I think you learn how to just manage your emotions and be ready for the next play. And so that's something that I continue to work on and continue to get better at. And the more you learn, the more you have to figure out what's best for you in order to go out there and succeed.
I guess we've never just had this conversation before, just never came up before. I mean, there were two of those moments when I realized that you had a chance to be a really good starter in the league. It was the throw to Chris Conley, your first start at Arrowhead. It's still one of the best throws that I think you've made. And then the next week, it was that Monday night game against the Broncos. You know, you guys are struggling heading into the fourth quarter, and you make that left-handed throw with Von Miller chasing you. Do you have kind of that moment where it sort of clicked for you, like, hey, I can really have a lot of success in this league?
I think for me it was the second week, the week before the throw to Chris. I think it was when we played the Steelers. I mean, the Steelers were a great football team and still are, and well-coached, play extremely hard, and we played there in Pittsburgh, and we were able to really get things going and beat a really good football team, and that kind of gave me the confidence going throughout that year that I was going to be able to do this. And so I think that, as well as that last start I had in Denver, that first start I had at the end of that first season, I think it just showed me that the hard work I was doing was paying off.
We're talking to Patrick Mahomes here for a couple of more minutes. Tyrann Mathieu is going to be back in Kansas City, a guy you have a lot of familiarity with, the guy that had a great career in Kansas City. What is it going to be like to see him return to KC?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be cool, first off, because I think the Chiefs Kingdom has a ton of respect for Tyrann, and I think that he'll have a warm welcome for all the great things that he did, not only on the football field, but in the community. I mean, he truly was a leader in the community, and I'm excited for him to get the warm welcome that he deserves. But there's a lot of football players on that team that were here in Kansas City, Willie Gay, Colin Saunders, and I'm excited to see those guys, but I know how good those football players are, so it'll be a great test for us. I mean, they have a really good defense. They play extremely physical and extremely fast, and they're very smart. And so it's going to be a great challenge for us as an offense. We have to continue to get better and better in order to find a way to get a win.
Speaking of defense, I want to ask you a question about your defense. I don't know if you've seen the stat, but out of the four starting running backs that this defense has gone up against, they are holding running backs to 2.6 yards per carry. We're talking about Derrick Henry, who's going to be in the Hall of Fame, J.K. Dobbins, who is off to a great start this year, Bijan Robinson, I think, is a top five back in the league. This defense, over the last, I would say, 18 months or so, has really emerged as maybe the best defense in the league.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could see it beginning of last year, and people didn't really come around until the playoffs, and then they've kind of built off that. They do a great job. I mean, it's really deep. You got a lot of guys that play extremely hard, and then you have superstars that make plays in big moments. And I think it's really cool that it comes from everywhere, man. It's not just one unit. It's not just one player. I mean, obviously Chris helps and Trent helps, but everybody makes plays on the entire defense. I think they're finally getting the recognition they deserve, and they're the reason we're winning these games. And as the offense finds its way and we continue to get better and I hopefully start playing a little bit better, I think it's going to help to have this great defense and all the experience they have.
I remember you said last year that the games at 325 were your favorite games, and I'm with you. I just love watching Red Zone. It then leads right into you guys at 325. But I'm guessing that the adrenaline running out of the tunnel for a Sunday night and Monday night have to be a little bit different than those Sunday 325 games.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, just being a night game, especially at Arrowhead, and running out of that tunnel and hearing the crowd erupt, it's special. I mean, you feel the energy. It's a different feel. And it gets your juices going. So, I mean, it's going to be a great environment. Monday Night Football, Arrowhead Stadium against another great football team. And I'm excited to get out there and play.
Last thing here, Patrick. I haven't got a chance to watch it yet. I plan on doing it this week. But you were involved in the Evolution of the Black Quarterback series on Amazon. How did that come together? How proud are you to be associated and a part of that project?
Yeah, I'm extremely proud. I mean, Mike Vick was going around interviewing guys, and I believe he interviewed me and Coach Reed, and I have a great relationship with him from my time spent with him here at St. Joe, actually, and he's a really good dude, and he had this great idea on how he was going to show the evolution of the black quarterback and how it's made an impact in this league for a long time before people even knew. I'm just excited to be a part of it. And all the great quarterbacks that came before me that laid the platform to me to be in this position today. I actually haven't got to see the full documentary yet, which is with the football season, but I'm going to watch it as well, and I'm excited to see the final product.
I was just going to ask you, how proud are you to carry that torch? You know, you grew up in that time where you remember Michael Vick had the tennis shoes and the Nike commercial and Randall Cunningham. It has been such a long line, and right now you have that torch. You strike me as someone that understands your responsibility and the role of what you have.
Yeah, 100%. I think it came from when my dad played baseball and LaTroy Hawkins, my godfather, and how much pride they had of being a pitcher and being able to pitch like the guys like Satchel Paige and guys that they looked up to. And my dad would mimic him when he played the position. So I think that gave me the pride of being able to be a black quarterback and being able to go out there and show that we can do it in a multitude of ways. And I think you see that throughout the NFL, and is that you can play the quarterback position in any way possible and succeed, and guys are doing that today.
That is the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, joining us on the show today ahead of Monday Night Football against the New Orleans Saints. Patrick, man, it's always great catching up with you. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Go Royals.
Absolutely. That is Patrick Mahomes. If you missed any part of our conversation with the quarterback, you can certainly check it out on the Odyssey app or the website, 965thefan.com. Let's get back to the Royals here coming up in a bit. We're going to be joined by Josh Vernier. Vern is going to join us every single day until the Royals season is over. Vinny Pasquantino met with the media earlier today, and here's what he had to say about how he thinks the Yankees are going to handle this Royals lineup, and more specifically, Bobby Witt Jr.
I'm not predicting anything, but I have a feeling I'll be hitting with Bobby at first a lot. There was a lot of talk about it in Baltimore. I think that's something that might happen. Teams aren't going to let, for the most part, you don't want the best player on the other team to beat you. It's kind of the game plan. Yeah. So could potentially be a big series for me. Can I do my job like I was talking about? If he's at first, if they put him on, whatever it is, I'll be ready to go. But I am probably expecting that a little bit more this series.
The most puzzling thing to me about the Orioles series was they let Bobby Witt Jr. get a lot of at-bats. Bobby Witt Jr. had 9 at-bats in 2 games against the Orioles. The Royals had 3 RBIs, and Bobby Witt Jr. had 2 of them. I mean, if there's one player, if the scouting report tells you that you can't let this player beat you, wouldn't it be Bobby Witt Jr.? I mean, Salvi's in a little bit of a slump right now. Vinny Pasquantino just got back off the injured list. I mean, the fact that Bobby Witt Jr. hit .333 in the series and had 2 of their 3 RBIs, I don't know what the plan was for the Baltimore Orioles. I don't know what they were doing. I mean, just with the way the Royals offense is going right now, if they got a runner on first and second and Bobby Witt Jr. is coming up, I'm happy to put a runner on second and third. We're not letting that guy hit. We're not letting that guy beat us. So it will be very intriguing to see how the Yankees go about that when it comes to Bobby Witt Jr. If Salvi can get things going, if Vinny can have a big role in this series offensively. But you would just have to think that the Yankees or some team just, hey, at some point, these other guys in the lineup got to show us that they can beat us. And we're just not going to let Bobby Witt Jr. do it. I mean, think about the way this offense has been scuffling a little bit. Rob, he has three RBIs in their last five games for an offense right now that is just really struggling to score. It's very odd how teams are handling one of the best hitters on the planet. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Josh Vernier. Every day, as long as the Royals are alive, Vern will be on our show. We're happy to catch up with them. We'll do that next. Keep it right here. So Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, every day that the Royals are still alive, we are going to have Josh Vernier join us on the show. Vern, happy to talk to you, my man.
Thanks for having me on.
Vern, I am surprised, now thinking back to the series, that the Orioles gave Bobby Witt Jr. so many opportunities. I mean, he got 9 at-bats in that series. The Royals had 3 RBIs, and Bobby Witt Jr. had 2 of them. Do you think that the Yankees are going to have the same approach in this series?
I would be surprised in that second one, right? For the game on Wednesday, the 6th inning at bat, I would be surprised if they, especially if they have their backs against the wall like the Orioles did, I would be surprised if they allowed their second best reliever to dictate their season against a guy like Bobby Witt Jr. Now, Tuesday's game one, when Brandon Hyde left it up to Corbin Burnes to properly approach Bobby Witt Jr. I think Aaron Boone will do the same tomorrow with Garrett Cole. You trust your all-star, your Cy Young Award winner to understand the moment, and you can't let Bobby Witt Jr. beat me. Now, I understand the argument that someone needs to be the adult in the room, and you can't expect two lions to understand, or expect one of these two lions as they square off to understand that, well, I should live to fight another day. No, Garrett Cole, Corbin Burnes became who they are by backing down from no man. Bobby Witt Jr., the exact same thing. So when Aaron Boone leaves it up to Garrett Cole tomorrow in that situation, I think Garrett Cole will do a better job of executing than Corbin Burnes did. You can't leave a ball over the plate to Bobby Witt Jr. If you're going to pitch to him, you can't, right? You can't get cute. You can't try and get cute. You need to either put 4 fingers up or don't throw anything near the strike zone, and that's the mistake that Corbin Burnes made. So it's all very situational, but to break them down to the two that we saw against the Orioles, I think Tuesday's happens again. I don't believe that with their backs against the wall, Aaron Boone would allow Bobby Witt Jr. to get the best of them.
I would say right now, Vern, that the three most popular players in baseball are Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani, and Bryce Harper. Do you think it's fair to put Witt in that top four? What tier, I guess, of superstar do you think he is? And I'm not just talking about on the field, because I think on the field he's definitely in that conversation.
Right.
But
right.
The total package of on the field, off the field, charisma, recognizability, where do you put Bobby Witt right now?
Yeah, wow. Not on the top tier. If we say Judge, Harper, and Shohei, which I would agree, those guys are the top tier. Well, then I think Mookie Betts and Jose Altuve are on that second tier. I'm sure there are some others. You know, Mike Trout, I think, is on that second tier. I don't know if Bobby is there on a national level just yet. By this time next week, I would hope that he is. But right now, no. I would say third tier. He's one of the guys that Major League Baseball obviously wants to get going. Just like, I don't know, man. Fernando Tatis, Ronald Acuna, right? They got Acuna has an MVP. I want to put Bobby in their class, but I'm wondering if the recognition of the Atlanta Braves and the San Diego Padres and their postseason pasts already have catapulted them to another level than Bobby. Maybe Bobby's on a fourth tier. I'd be interested in your thoughts. Acuna, Tatis, are they right there in your mind with Bobby?
Yeah, I would say that those guys are maybe a little bit ahead of Bobby Witt, and that's just time. You know what I mean? Tatis was on the cover of MLB The Show, where, you know, there are certain, you know, benchmarks in your career that lead to you being a superstar, like our introduction to Bryce Harper. He's on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a high school player, and he just always lived up to that. This just feels like one of those series that if Bobby Witt Jr. hits 400, hits a couple of home runs, you do it in Yankee Stadium, you do it in that moment, you do it on that stage. That's to me how you elevate up the ranks of becoming one of those names in baseball.
Yeah, I'm wondering, because Bryce Harper, you know, Sports Illustrated at 16, people hated him before he even got to the show. Shohei's Shohei, and Aaron Judge is special as well, just his stature, and of course wearing the pinstripes. You know, because Corey Seager's been around for a while. Corey Seager's won two World Series MVPs, and now, he's a big dude with some broad shoulders, so I guess he would stand out. But you know, Corey Seager was the next great thing, is a future Hall of Famer if he can stay on the field. And yet, I don't know how far up the ladder he's ever made it. And yeah, Bobby's more talented. But just because you're more talented doesn't mean you're going to become that national star when you're playing this sport. There needs to be something else. Just being a freak, I honestly don't think just being a freak is enough. Bobby's going to have to put on a show, right? He's going to have, and I mean a show, because like I mentioned, Corey Seager's put on plenty of October shows, and I think for most fans, certainly in Kansas City, he's a forgettable face. Really outside of Los Angeles and maybe Arlington, he's a forgettable face, and yet he's checked every single box a baseball player can check.
Right now we're talking to Josh Vernier. He's going to be on the show every day as long as the Royals are still alive. Vern, these are the stats for Michael Wacha against some of the key pieces for the Yankees. Aaron Judge is hitting 1-for-18 against Michael Wacha with 11 strikeouts. Gleyber Torres is 1-for-16. Giancarlo Stanton is 4-for-17. Alex Verdugo is 3-for-11 in this series. With those numbers, could you give Kansas City the advantage in this game? Because we know that momentum is normally as good as your next day starting pitcher, and it sounds like they have the pitching advantage in game one.
Well, I didn't hear Juan Soto's name in there.
That's
Juan
fair.
Soto has good numbers against, I think, all three of the Royals starting pitchers. And listen, man, you know this. It's baseball. Michael Wacha sleeps wrong tonight. Who knows how he's performing tomorrow? And shoot, if you know, it's not as if Gerrit Cole is a bum. Gerrit Cole, probably a when right. Top five right-hander in all of Major League Baseball. So if we see a duplication of games one or two in Baltimore, and it's a 1-1 game in the seventh inning, it Yeah, Waka can do his job. Garrett Cole can do their job, and they could still come out on the losing end as, you know, Waka hangs one changeup in the middle to, you know, 7 of the 9 starters that the Yankees have, and they can burn you with one swing of the bat. You know, Giancarlo Stanton, you know, to go back to our previous conversation, Giancarlo Stanton, I think, is closer to that top tier of baseball recognizability than Bobby Witt Jr. obviously is right now, and I wonder if he can achieve that. To get to that level where Giancarlo Stanton, I think, is a lot more well-known coast-to-coast.
Last question here, Vern. I called today to try to get my playoff tickets, and I tried to do it the normal way. And
yeah.
I was priced out. Let's just go ahead and say that, you know?
Yeah.
They quoted me a number.
All those Yankees fans in Overland Park.
Yeah, they quoted me a number, and I'm thinking, wait, folks were spending this for a divisional round? This was more expensive than my Game 7 World Series tickets were. That's not what I wanted to ask you. What I do want to ask you is, what's the most money that you've ever spent to attend a sporting event or a concert?
I think I paid, how much did I pay for those Michigan-Ohio State tickets last year at the Big House? I want to say those were $400-$500 maybe.
And it was worth it. They won.
Yeah, yeah. It was. I mean, yeah, it was worth it from the moment I walked in to the moment I walked out. But yeah, I would say, you know, and I had to buy one for the wife to go along with me. So, you know, that's a grand $1,200 I think I spent on that.
That is our guy, Josh Vernier, joining us on the show today.
Let me take back the wife. I know I don't like the wife, but yeah, Katie. Had to buy a ticket for her as well.
No, the wife. I knew who you were talking about. The listener knows who you're talking about.
That sounds rough.
Shout out to the wife. We appreciate Katie on this show. Vern, man, thank you so much, man. We'll catch you next week, man. We're going to do this every day, man.
She's the wife because of this show. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on.
That's our guy, Josh Vernier, joining us on the show. All right, coming up on the other side, we got a handful of games to look forward to on Sunday. I know you're going to be watching the Royals this weekend, but you'll be watching football too. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fam. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Friday. I would like to talk a little bit of college football before we get to the matchups in the NFL this weekend. Missouri has their biggest game so far of the season. They go on the road to play Texas A&M. Now, Rob, I know you travel to see your team. When the schedule first came out, I circled the A&M game as the one that I was going to go to. Next year, I'm going to go to. They play Oklahoma on the road next year. Do you know where College Station is? Because I didn't know where College Station was. So I started doing some Googles. How would I get to College Station? Can I fly there? No. You got to fly to Houston to then drive 2 hours to go to College Station, and I would have done it. But the game is at 11. Nah, man. I'm not that committed. Some of y'all is more committed than I am. You know what? I'm not doing that. I'll watch the game on TV. That's great. I am going to bet on Missouri on the money line. You're going to tell me Missouri's a dog in this game? I think they got the better defense. I think they're the better offense. I know they're not the home team. I think Missouri's better than A&M. I'm going to take them if you're going to give me the points and plus money. I'm going to take Missouri in this. I also think this just kind of feels like a Luther Burden game. This feels like a 7 catches, 92 yards in a touchdown game. I think Missouri is one of the 15 best teams in the country. I think they're a little bit overranked just based on their number and how they've played so far. This is one of those games that you just validate the conversations that people have had about you all offseason. The conversation about Missouri has been playoff or bust. You are not making the playoffs if you lose to A&M. You can have a good season still, but just with their schedule and the way that it is, and you still got to go on the road to Alabama, you are not making the playoff if you lose this game. That conversation is over for Missouri. So maybe I'm betting on them just out of hope, belief that they are a potential playoff team. I think they're going to win tomorrow.
I love the line. I love it. A&M seems wildly overvalued to me. Like, Who have they played? The one team that they've played that anyone considers good, Notre Dame. They lost. And by the way, Notre Dame, not really that good looking anymore. They have played one legitimate opponent. Now, I could easily make the argument Missouri is the same boat, but I'm just not an A&M believer. So I'm riding with the Tigers on Saturday if you were asking me, hey, where's your money going to be, especially with plus money. But, yeah, skip the 2 points and just put them on the money line. Or if you live on this side of the state line, just wait. If they get down by any amount, you're going to get more juice. But I can't figure out why Missouri is a dog other than just neither team's played anyone and they're at home, I guess, is the logic.
Yeah, I would say that one of your best cases to do what you were talking about is A&M scores the first drive. They kick a field goal. Missouri is then probably, what, a 4.5-point dog. You could probably get the money line up to play plus 140, plus 150. That's probably your best chance of really capitalizing. Because I would say after that, it kind of gets a little dicey. I don't know if I'm taking the road dog in that scenario. There's a handful of decent games this weekend. This isn't a great football weekend. It's certainly not in college. I mean, college, to let you know where it is this weekend in college football, College game day is at Miami at Cal. That lets you know where we are in college football. This is a weak week. In the NFL, there's some decent games. Jets and Vikings, I actually think, is one of the more interesting games of the weekend. That's the early morning game out in London. We finally gave London an interesting, decent game. I am going to take the Vikings and the number. I'm also going to take a second bet and maybe bump that number up a little bit to give me a chance at plus money. I think there's a chance that the Vikings win this game by at least 7 points. I just think they are a better, more complete team than the Jets are. The Jets are having a tough time running the football, and I'm not sure if you're going to be able to beat this defense if you're not balanced. I like the Jets to go across the pond and take care of business.
Can I ask you a question? Because I don't disagree with you, but if you have the Vikings winning, are we going to start having a conversation about the Vikings being the best team in the NFC?
I think we should already be having that conversation.
I think right now we all kind of like, oh, it's a nice story.
We should have had that conversation after they beat the Texans 34-7. That was the time to start having that conversation. You late to the party if you're having it now. The only reason they are not a 4.5-point favorite is the public's love of Aaron Rodgers and the Jets being such a public team.
And the quarterback of the Vikings. People are waiting for their shoe to drop.
I'm with you.
I don't think it will.
Piping hot right now, though. He's thrown 11 touchdown passes in the first four games of the season. Sam Darnold should be the favorite to win MVP. I know how crazy that sounds, and I understand that Mahomes is the favorite right now. Mahomes is at plus 250. What's the scenario you think Mahomes wins NFL MVP this year? The numbers just aren't going to be there for him to win MVP this year. I understand why he's the favorite based on the name, but you got to put up a big monster season. Who are you putting up a monster season with? Justin Watson?
You know, Sam Darnold is a lock for comeback player of the year, having come back from the debilitating suckiness he had last season.
I don't know, but it might be Aaron Rodgers' award, man.
You think Aaron Rodgers is going to win the comeback player of the year award if the Jets don't make the playoffs?
No, that's a good point. I can't argue that.
And we know now that last year Joe Flacco beat out DeMar Hamlin for the award from coming back from the overwhelming difficulty of being old.
Are you picking the Bengals against the Ravens?
No. You can't pick the Bengals in any game until they start doing it more often. They eked by the Panthers.
I'm taking the Ravens, too. I hate to be on the side of chalk. I feel like I'm going real chalky this week. And this week in the NFL, this year has been just anything but chalk. I like the Ravens, too. I don't trust the Bengals. That's probably a game that I would actually stay away from. I'm not going to stay away from the other one. It's a neutral site game. Take the team you think is better. I'll take the Vikings in that one. I'm not touching Bengals and Ravens. The game that I am excited about, I should have got it earlier in the week when the number was better. The Commanders were 2.5-point, 3-point favorite. It does not make sense to me how that happens. I am confused.
What does Vegas know?
I'm confused how the Commanders are only a 3-point favorite at home against the Browns. Makes absolutely no sense to me. Who you like in Bills and Texans?
I like the Bills to get back to form. The Texans have not really impressed me at any point this season. The Bills, they may have lost the Ravens. They have been impressive at some point. The Texans just haven't.
We are excited about a great sports weekend here in Kansas City. We got playoff baseball. Missouri is in the only ranked game this weekend. We got playoff baseball in Kansas City coming up on Wednesday and Thursday. the best place for you to be is right here with us on 96.5 The Fan. All right, I'm out of here. I'll be back on Monday to get you ready for Monday Night Football. We'll also recap game one of the ALDS. Have a great weekend, a fantastic weekend, MIZ, and I'll let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.